now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. If you're struggling during the pandemic, you may be wondering if and when you'll get some financial help from the feds. Here's the latest.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi intends to move on increased payments for Americans as a standalone bill on Monday. President Trump has demanded direct payments increase from $600 that are included in a $900 billion COVID relief bill to $2,000. Democrats attempted to pass a measure doing that Thursday. The unanimous consent resolution was blocked, as was a request from House Republicans to review foreign aid. If the House were to approve the enhanced stimulus checks, the measure is still unlikely to advance in the Republican-led Senate, where earlier proposals lacked sufficient support. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Questions still remain after an RV exploded in downtown Nashville on Christmas morning. 15 minutes before, a recorded message played from the RV warning of a bomb. Police believe the blast was intentional. They don't yet know a motive or target. Mayor John Koop said yesterday,
"This morning's attack on our community was intended to create chaos and fear in this season of peace and hope. But Nashvillians have proven time and time again that the spirit of our city cannot be broken. But we're not going to rest until those responsible for this outrageous and cowardly attack are brought to justice."
The three people who were injured were in stable condition last night, according to police. South Korea had seemed to be winning the fight against the coronavirus, but things have taken a turn for the worse there. Another 1,241 people tested positive for the virus yesterday. That's the largest daily increase since the pandemic started. The country's leaders are now under more pressure to enforce stricter social distancing. And people in Beijing already experiencing a crackdown. Sporting events and temple fairs have been canceled. Capacity limits put on movie theaters and museums. The government's urging people to stay home during the upcoming Lunar New Year. So Christmas is over, and you are ready to get the tree down, right? Across the D.C. metro area, you can get that fresh tree recycled.
In Howard County, your real tree can be recycled into mulch.
Each year, approximately 1,000 trees are collected and ground into mulch for use or added to compost.
County Executive Calvin Ball. And really no hurry if you're still enjoying that tree.
Between December 26th and January 16th, you can either drop off at one of the locations around Howard County
or put it out for yard waste collection. Barbara Britt, WMAL and WMAL.com.
If your plan this weekend is to run errands, you'll notice gas prices have gone up around the D.C. metro area for the holidays, but the AAA expects that to be short-lived. Spokesperson John Townsend says demand will continue to drop as we get into the dead of winter. WMAL Sports, the Saints beat the Vikings 52-33, winning their fourth straight NFC South title. Washington football team quarterback Alex Smith is officially listed as questionable for tomorrow's game against the Panthers. Washington could clinch the NFC East by beating Carolina. Airtime on WMAL tomorrow is at 3.
Sunday on WMAL. Start your day with VA Sunday Magazine at 5. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Purity Products. Hear The Wise Investor at 9, Not Free America at 10, and Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at 11. Real Estate Today at 7. And Sunday night at 9, it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
This year, let's celebrate a little. A lot of time away from your people makes you miss them a little more. And you're a little more likely to appreciate the stuff that matters most this holiday. So here's a pro tip. Big gifts are out. That's why the Virginia Lottery has a little something for your friends and family. Holiday scratchers. Yes, they are literally little, but we promise you'll get big props. You know what? Let's take a little moment. Holiday scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. It's the little things.
Hi, I'm James Skank, President and CEO of PenFed Credit Union. PenFed is proud to serve our national defense community and all Americans. This year, we've helped more people achieve their financial well-being and realize their dream of home ownership than ever before. It would be our pleasure to help you achieve your financial well-being and realize your dreams in 2021. We wish you and your family health and happiness this holiday season and a prosperous and healthy new year.
Turn your used car into a life-changing opportunity for a person of differing abilities or injured veteran. Your donation helps provide job training and career placement for adults, inclusive summer camp experiences for children, and specialized healing retreats for injured veterans. Melwood will pick up your car, your donation is tax deductible, and you get to help build a better future for people in our community. You don't even have to be there for the pickup. Grab your title and call 1-877-MELWOOD or go to melwood.org, M-E-L-W-O-O-D.org.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience, all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Starting off on I-66 westbound at 29 Centerville, they do have that crash now moved over to the right shoulder. It was blocking the three right lanes, but really no delay or problem because of the light volumes of traffic right now. Also closed is New Hampshire Avenue northbound from 410 up to Kentland Avenue. That's investigation work after an earlier accident, so use some caution and watch for flashing lights through that area too. You'll have to follow a detour. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday, but also plenty of cold air. We'll see high temperatures today only into the mid-30s under mostly sunny skies. Later on tonight, clear skies, light winds will allow temperatures to dip back into the 20s. We'll at least see some milder air into the region for the end of the weekend. For your Sunday, expect plenty of sunshine, high temperatures about 10 degrees warmer into the mid-40s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
If you have avoided going to the dentist, especially due to fear or safety concerns, McMillan Sedation Dentistry understands and is open and ready to help. We continue to meet and strive to exceed the CDC's infection control standards. At McMillan Sedation Dentistry, you're in the safest, most hygienic environment, whether for emergency or elective treatments. We offer total solution dentistry, from comprehensive to cosmetic, along with implant treatments all in one office with gentle sedation options. The McMillan Sedation team is like a family who provides a safe, comfortable home where most procedures can be completed in as little as one anxiety-free visit. Our staff will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. If you're scared or concerned, we are here for you. Call 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our smile gallery at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We'll have the latest on the bombing in Nashville coming up in this hour. But right now, we'll get the latest on what's been going on Capitol Hill this week. John Gizzi joins us. He is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. And to all those who didn't get the word, Merry Christmas.
And I know that you are out on the White House lawn on Christmas Eve filing reports for Newsmax. And, of course, that was the day that the House Democrats and the GOP went at it to attempt to pass a $2,000 stimulus check package. What happened?
Well, the initial package with $900 billion was under consideration by the full House. Speaker Pelosi said, let's seek unanimous consent. And what happened was that if any one member objects, that means consent isn't unanimous and it's not considered. Sure enough, Rob Whitman of Virginia, Republican, objected, and that was the end of any discussion of raising the checks from $600 to $2,000 for Americans whose income is under $75,000 per year. Now, there are going to be other efforts to raise this amount. The administration would like that. Republican members of Congress, however, are not pleased. They have said that if the economy gets better, then job stimulation and the free market will take care of everything. America will go back to work. And as much as they may sound like the Grinch who stole Christmas for not voting for higher checks, they're standing with this position firmly. Marsha Blackburn, the senator from Tennessee, is one of the president's good friends and strongest advocates on Capitol Hill. She was also one of the six who voted against the original stimulus package. And she simply said, I agree with the president that what we need is a booming economy. In other words, there is a traditional reluctance among Republicans not to raise the deficit, not to spend money, and not to do things that the free market can do. This means the president will have trouble getting Republican votes to raise the $2,000. The Democrats are going to go ahead with it, but in all likelihood it'll die in the Senate. This reporter's conclusion: the president will sign the bill as is, and Americans will get their $600 check, albeit not in time for Christmas.
So, John, this seems like a last-ditch effort by the president to once and for all end the egregious pork that ends up in these spending bills. And he threatened in 2018 that he would never sign one like that again, and has threatened it this year. With Joe Biden coming in, I would imagine we're not going to see a president put his foot down for at least the next 4 years on that.
Probably not. And as you say, the president said he would sign it in 18, but never again. But then look, this year it was his budget bureau that recommended all the things he was denouncing on the now storied statement that he sent out. Foreign aid to Egypt and Cambodia, increased funding for the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, and yes, the notorious Line 17, a pay raise for members of Congress. Again, these are things which are upsetting. I can hear our friends out in radio land getting angry the day after Christmas. But the fact is that the president's own budget bureau, again, supported these things. And one can ask, in all honesty, that if he is against it, why did he recommend it in the first place?
So, John, the year is almost over. It's been almost 2 months since November 3rd, and we still have two House seats that are being debated.
I think that's a fair assessment. In Iowa's 2nd District, the race was counted and recounted, and Marionette Miller Meeks, on her fourth try for the office of U.S. Representatives, won by 6 votes out of 390,000 cast. Now, there's room enough for error in that, for sure. But again, after 2 counts, the state of Iowa's appropriate officials certified her as the winner. Democratic opponent Rita Hart said no way, she actually won, and she had votes disqualified by local boards of canvassers, 22 votes, in fact, and she said she would have been the winner. She's filed a complaint with the House Administration Committee, and it could be that the full House, still narrowly under Democratic control, could deny Congresswoman-elect Miller Meeks her seat and then oversee a recount of the race itself. It's going to be a little bit hard to do that if the Congresswoman-elect comes into the hall in Congress carrying a certificate of election. New York 22 is a little different. Republican Claudia Tenney has led Democratic Congressman Anthony Brindisi in the upstate district since November 3rd. As of today, her lead is 19 votes out of 325,000 cast. 7 counties resolve differences about disputed ballots. Now the 8th county, Oneida County, which Mr. Brindisi carried rather handily, is in the process of a recount. Like most of us, they've taken Christmas off, the weekend off, and they're going to take next week through New Year's Day off. That means a final count and certification will not be completed when Congress takes office January 3rd, and there'll be an empty seat for the gentleman or gentlelady from New York's 22nd District. I have a feeling I'll be reporting on this for a while.
So, John, a couple of developments in the Georgia Senate race. A police body cam video surfacing of Raphael Warnock's ex-wife describing an incident where he allegedly drove over her foot. This happened back in March of this year. She did not sustain any significant injuries, but here's what she told the police officers about her former husband, Raphael Warnock.
Tried to keep the way that he acts under wraps for a long time, and today he crossed the line. So that is what is going on here, and he's a great actor. He is phenomenal at putting on a really good show.
That video floating around now as we're about 2 weeks out from that election. One of the polls out this week in Georgia showing Raphael Warnock with a slight lead over Kelly Loeffler. Of course, not sure that we trust polls much anymore. But how would you assess the Georgia Senate race at this point?
People vote their last prejudices in the voting booth, a wise woman once told me. And I think many do not want to tell pollsters that they are voting against the man who stands in the pulpit of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, made famous by Martin Luther King and his father, Martin Luther King, Sr. But like us all, Raphael Warnock is human. And certainly, given the role he has as a clergyman in a legendary church, the charges by a former wife are going to cause him some problems in this race. I would point out that Kelly Loeffler and fellow Republican Doug Collins got over half the vote in the November election. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if they can simply turn out almost all of the people who voted in November, she should win.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, as always, thank you very much. We're going to go live to Nashville next. We'll get the very latest on the Christmas morning bombing there. But first, we are off to the WMAL Traffic Center. Bill Fonte is there this morning.
Traffic running pretty smoothly all around the area because of light volumes. We do have a closure. Independence Avenue is closed in both directions from Washington Avenue to Pennsylvania Avenue due to planned road work. That's going to be closed until about 6 o'clock tonight. On New Hampshire Avenue in Tacoma Park, New Hampshire Avenue northbound closed from 410 up to Kentland Avenue because of an accident investigation from an earlier crash. 95 and 66 in Virginia all looking good at this time. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday, but also plenty of cold air. We'll see high temperatures today only into the mid-30s under mostly sunny skies. Later on tonight, clear skies, light winds will allow temperatures to dip back into the 20s. We'll at least see some milder air into the region for the end of the weekend. For your Sunday, expect plenty of sunshine, high temperatures about 10 degrees warmer into the mid-40s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
25 degrees, 718 in the nation's capital. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and as we have been talking about this morning, a Christmas morning bomb blast in Nashville, Tennessee. We are joined by Dan Mandis. He is a talk show host in Nashville. He's also the program director at Supertalk 99.7 WTN in Nashville. Dan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to get the latest on the scene in Nashville today.
Well, it's a pretty large investigation area, so you know, you're speaking about several square blocks, and then when you start looking at the damage and the blast and how far a lot of this debris may have traveled, it could extend even further out. So, you know, right now they're combing through just a lot of the rubble. They're looking for any evidence they can to figure out what kind of explosives were used. They're trying to figure out what kind of person would want to do this, ultimately what the motive was. There's a lot of damage to a lot of these buildings in this area of Nashville. So there's just a lot to comb over.
Now, my understanding is the count on the buildings damaged was 41. Give us a sense of the magnitude of the blast. In other words, that's 41 buildings in a several block area, but how far away did people feel this?
I mean, I can tell you that I felt it where I live in Mount Juliet, which is about 25 miles away. So it was a very large blast. I mean, it was felt all across the greater Nashville area. And if you can imagine, there was a plume of smoke and flame that went up above the Batman building here in downtown Nashville, 33 stories up. So people that saw the blast said that the flames went up higher than the Batman building. So you're talking about, you know, an explosion that went as high as at least 33 stories. So it was just a massive, massive explosion. And you talk about the 41 buildings that were damaged. I mean, that's just the buildings that sustained, you know, say, for example, structural damage. But then you start talking about the windows that were broken all across the downtown area because of the strength of the blast. I mean, there are broken windows just everywhere. So just the 41 buildings, yes, those are structural damage. But then you start talking about the broken windows. This was just a massive, massive explosion.
Now, tell us exactly where this happened, because for people that have been to Nashville, they may have been to the Ryman Auditorium or the Country Music Hall of Fame. They may have been to the Bridgestone Arena, which is downtown. They may have been to the stadium. And so give us a sense of this area.
Well, if you've been to the stadium, then, or if you've seen it on TV, then you would see the stadium. Then you would see a river that is right next to the stadium. This is right over that river. So, you know, one of the restaurants that was damaged, destroyed actually, was a place called Rodizio. If you were sitting at Rodizio and you looked across the river, you would see the football stadium. So in one sense, it's a very busy area. But that being said, you know, Broadway itself is where all the honky-tonks and all the bars are and all this kind of stuff. So this particular area is almost like a little enclave off of the main strip. And so there's definitely a lot of restaurants. It's definitely a walking area, tattoo parlors and bars and this kind of a thing. But it is a few blocks away from all of the, you know, all of the country music stars, bars and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was definitely, you know, it's Christmas morning. So there's a lot of, there's not a lot of people down there. There's not a lot of people that live in that area. There's a lot of RBOs, VRBOs and, you know, vacation rentals and that kind of thing. But again, because it was Christmas morning, it was, it really was pretty much abandoned at that point. It was very quiet.
So you've been through tornadoes this year in Nashville. We've all been through COVID-19. It's Christmas morning. There's a bomb blast in Nashville, Tennessee. You go on the air. Very little is known in the investigation. What was it like being on the air? What were you hearing from listeners, the sentiments?
So at first, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of crime down there. So I just thought, okay, this is a meth lab that's exploded. And then you hear about the gunshots. Okay, there's gunshots, a meth lab explodes, and, you know, it's time to go back to bed. But then you started to see the pictures, and then you start to realize this is actually something a lot worse. And so we jumped on the air, and then we, of course, heard the news that it was intentional. And then we thought immediately, of course, terrorist attack. Then you think, what was the target? You're trying to make sense of it, because if it's a terrorist attack, well, then why on Christmas morning when there's no one around? And then you immediately start to think about the infrastructure. And then you start to think about, you know, the AT&T technical center that was hit. And then we now have, you know, some 911 service that's out. So it really was, you know, about 4 or 5 hours of just discovery and trying to figure out. But here in Nashville, you know, you really just hit on it. You know, we got hit with massive tornadoes in March. Then you've got COVID. We've had riots here, just like in a lot of other towns. And the restrictions, the economy. We have just, in Nashville and in Tennessee, generally speaking, especially with a huge spike in COVID numbers, it's just been a really bad year here, especially, again, with the added issue of the tornadoes. And so I think people are just sort of feeling beleaguered at this point, because a lot of people, especially in this area of Nashville, you know, we've lost a lot of businesses already because of, one, the tornado, then the COVID-19 restrictions. A lot of places are suffering. We are dependent on tourism. So because of COVID and a lot of the closures and restrictions from the mayor, we have just had a lot of problems. And I think for a lot of the people who, as soon as you realize there weren't a lot of people killed or hurt, then it went to what can happen next, which is, of course, not something you want to ask, because you never know what's going to happen next.
We've got about a minute or so left, and you mentioned the mayor, John Cooper, and he was interviewed, and he started sort of giggling in the interview. I heard another interview he was doing. He was very nonchalant about the whole thing, and I was just surprised, because you look to your mayor in a time like this for reassurance, for commitment, for strength, and he was really, really ripped up on social media, a lot of criticism on social media. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the mayor is incredibly unpopular because of the fact that he imposed these big-time restrictions on the downtown area. And, you know, one of the things that was noted is that we had a lot of restrictions on the restaurants, but that's not where the COVID clusters were. So there's a lot of things that he's done that people just don't agree with. And for the mayor, at a time when, you're right, we're looking for leadership, and the nonchalant nature of his comments that we were running, we got off the air, and I said to my co-host, was it just me, or did he just sound like he really just needed to stop talking because he wasn't taking this seriously? And my co-host said, yeah, he just needs to go back to bed or something, because he's just not helping. He needs to just stop talking. And so he continues even today to get ripped on social media. Some of the local media is picking it up, too. So just a couple of very bizarre interviews by our mayor.
Well, I had that same exact reaction that you did when I heard him, you know, when I was listening yesterday. I'm like, did I just hear that?
Well, yeah, Dan, he's a bit of an odd guy, to be honest, yeah.
Dan Mandis in Nashville this morning. Thank you very much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
7:27 now, the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Happy holidays, Sarah.
Are you spelling that H-A-U-L?
You know I am. Have you heard the news?
What news?
1-800-GOT-JUNK is on Santa's top 10 list for Christmas ideas.
Less junk, more happiness.
Full-service junk removal is a gift you can give yourself
or someone you love.
Give yourself
or someone else
a magically clean garage.
All you have to do is point.
Give yourself
or someone else
a magically clean storage shed.
All you have to do is point.
Give yourself
or someone else
a magically clean house.
All you have to do is point.
Get rid of old junk and make room for the future
by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
People are always so much happier
when all that junk is gone.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK
or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Campbell here, serial entrepreneur. Here's what our payroll customer, Laura, thinks about us.
Patriot Software and their amazing team are a crucial part of our business. They handle the details of payroll and tax payments, so we can focus on delivering exceptional customer service to our own clients. Patriot's payroll is affordable, easy to use, and it keeps us organized. They're receptive to their customers and strive to demonstrate that each day. Without a doubt, we will be using their payroll services for many years to come. Thank you, Patriot Software. 5 stars.
Go to PatriotSoftware.com to get your payroll pricing for up to 100 employees. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money. Oh, 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 oh.
7:30 News is next with Heather Curtis. We're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll get the latest on the investigation in Nashville from his perspective. And also we'll talk with KT McFarland. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. The FBI is taking the lead in trying to figure out who's behind the explosion of an RV in downtown Nashville on Christmas morning. Police think the explosion was intentional, but don't know the motive. FBI Assistant Agent in Charge, Matt Foster.
This is our city, too. We live here. We work here. We're putting everything we have into finding who was responsible for what's happened here.
At least three people were injured in the explosion, including a cop who lost some of his hearing. The city's police chief said investigators found tissue at the scene that they believe could be human remains. They don't know yet if anyone was in the RV when it exploded. Some British troops spent their Christmas Day trying to get truck drivers stranded in southeast England home. Fox's Ashley Stromier.
The backlog formed after France briefly closed its borders and then began demanding coronavirus tests from everyone. Nearly 4,000 international truck drivers were still stranded in their cabs on Christmas Day.
The troops gave the drivers food and brought in portable toilets. France was trying to stop the new strain of COVID-19 from making its way to the country from England. A black doctor's complaints of racist medical care for COVID-19 in a hospital in Indiana are being investigated. Dr. Susan Moore posted on social media she had to push to get treated, and one white doctor dismissed her pain. WMAL Sports, the Saints beat the Vikings 52-33, winning their fourth straight NFC title. Washington football team quarterback Alex Smith is officially listed as questionable for tomorrow's game. Traffic and weather next.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. The holidays are all about sitting back and sipping on eggnog. That is until the lights go out on the front of your house and you have to search through a strand of 5,000 to find that one pesky light. You find yourself thinking, why's everything gotta be so hard? Well, at New Look, we make getting a new roof easy. We offer both virtual and on-site estimates. Use a special winter installation process to ensure shingles are sealed and tight. And we install most roofs in a single day. So all you have to do is sit back and sip away. Find out why over 40,000 homeowners have trusted New Look to do their roof. Right now, get great holiday savings with 50% off all roofing materials, plus qualify for interest-free financing until 2022. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
When life has you spending more time in your kitchen, you end up wanting more from your kitchen. So Bray & Scarf is giving you more ways to shop for appliances. Go to BrayandScarf.com and make a one-on-one appointment with a factory-trained appliance expert. It could be the best hour you've ever spent appliance shopping. Or schedule a live video shopping session from the comfort of your home. Bray & Scarf is the area's number one local and independent appliance retailer with the answers you need and the attention you deserve. So shop safely and shop local. Start online at BrayandScarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
However you shop Bray & Scarf, discover year-end appliance savings now. All GE Profile appliances are on sale, including a special bonus package rebate you won't want to miss. Plus, get free basic installation and delivery on select Monogram appliances. Get the expert advice you need, shop safely, and shop local at the year-end savings event, now at Bray & Scarf. Start shopping and start saving at BrayandScarf.com.
It's that time of year again. It's the time when we like to share goodwill with all the people we care about. In the spirit of season, the DC Lottery would like to wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday. They'd also like to remind you that lottery tickets are only for adults. They are not for children. In fact, it's illegal for anyone below 18 years of age to play the lottery. So this holiday, please gift responsibly. Lottery tickets aren't child's play. The DC Lottery would like to wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor for my good friends at Renter's Warehouse. From College Park to Woodbridge, Renter's Warehouse has a reputation for being one of DC's most respected property management companies, because they know this market, the international government and military clientele, the rental pricing dynamics. Whether you own one rental property or a dozen, the friendly folks at Renter's Warehouse make renting in D.C. easier than ever before. They'll price your property right and find awesome tenants in just 17 days on average. Then they'll manage all the grunt work 24/7. Rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork. Gone. Done. Off your plate. They'll even warranty your renters and give you flexible pricing options to meet your needs and your budget. Go to renterswarehouse.com, book your free home rental price appointment today, or call 202-625-4370. That's 202-625-4370, Renters Warehouse DC, because you can't buy happiness, but you can rent it.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Traffic running very smoothly and very light this morning. We do have one incident, New Hampshire Avenue in Tacoma Park. New Hampshire Avenue northbound is closed from 410 up to Kentland Avenue because of an investigation after an earlier accident. Also, Independence Avenue closed in both directions from Washington Avenue to Pennsylvania Avenue. That's some planned construction. And there's a new crash on Suitland Parkway westbound between Firth Sterling Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Very cold start to the weekend. Low temperatures this morning in the teens and 20s, but they'll gradually get into the mid-30s by the afternoon under mostly sunny skies. Later on tonight, we'll see clear skies once again. Lows back in the 20s, so another cold morning ahead of us for your Sunday. Milder temperatures to wrap up the weekend, though. High temperatures in the mid-40s under mostly sunny skies. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Finished a load of laundry, dropped the kids off at daycare, hit the gym for a quick workout, stopped by Mickey D's to grab some breakfast, got to work before my boss did, and it's only 9 a.m. meal.
There's a meal for every morning on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Right now, get two crispy breakfast classics for just $3. Mix and match a fluffy chicken McGriddles or a toasty McChicken biscuit. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. Mmm. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side looking just so good. Mmm. Grilled onions and a butter bagel too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. Mmm. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I participate in McDonald's.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
7:37, it's the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. He's also the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick, always great to join you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's Christmas morning in Nashville. A recreational vehicle is parked on a deserted street in downtown. Gunshots ring out about an hour before an explosion. There's a countdown to the explosion, warning people that it would explode and told them to evacuate. The police chief said there were no threats before the explosion. Three people injured. They have found tissue at the scene, which they believe could be human remains. So this is somewhat mysterious, Tony. As an investigator with the FBI, the ATF there, what are they thinking at this point? What are they looking at? What are the signs?
Well, everything you went through outlines a big mystery, which they don't have a lot of information to go on. There's already a number of significant awards out for information that would result in some sort of resolution or conviction. So, and from what I've seen in law enforcement channels so far, there's not a lot. I think this was meant to send a message, and this was done in such a way to minimize the potential of fatalities. We don't know if the individual who planned the bomb or was part of it was maybe the one who blew himself or herself up, but it's very clear at this point, Rick, that this was meant to send a message, and it was done on a major holiday in a major metropolitan area, which I would argue was against a major target. That is that this was right next to the AT&T central office, which shut down telecommunications for most of the day there. So I think this was whoever did it with a great deal of deliberate planning. I would argue they probably did a rehearsal of some sort, if they go back and look at the tapes, on Thanksgiving, because they wanted to have an understanding of traffic and the number of people in a situation similar to Christmas. This was probably planned by someone with that level of detail. So it's but ATF and FBI are the two lead agencies right now, and one of the things they always do in a situation like this, they set up essentially a task force led by one of the federal agencies, and I suspect at this point it's probably the FBI leading the investigation, and they're going to be doing a lot of lead development over the next few days.
And with a blast of that magnitude, how much evidence is there that is evidence you can work with? In other words, the van itself was probably obliterated. If there were somebody in there that was a suicide bomber, they're basically obliterated as well.
Well, often the detonator and other small materials which were used for the bomb itself are left behind. I mean, while it's obliterated, there's still a great deal of wire and other things like that that may be found. Plus, the very nature of the explosion, the explosive used. I mean, if you look at it, there wasn't a big crater. One of the reporters I deal with made a comment about not having a big crater from the results of the blast, which was interesting. But it is something that they'll be able to kind of start figuring out regarding the type of bomb. They've got audio, so they can probably get some level of understanding of what that was. And the other thing, too, remember that whoever did this had actually on that SUV put out a 15-minute warning. They were actually, you know, there's a recording of that. So there may be a clue in that. So it's going to be a big effort to collect clues at this point in time.
So if it's organized, that's one direction this could go in. If it was just an individual, maybe an elaborate suicide, that could be another direction it could go in. But what about the copycats that could emanate from this? Because that story has dominated the news for 24 hours. It's been virtually the only story in the news cycle on places like CNN, et cetera. What does that mean for copycats?
I'm not convinced. I think this to copycat this would mean you have to do something with very few, if no casualties, in such a way to kind of hit a very specific target. This was not, I don't believe for a minute, this was Islamic terror. Islamic terror has a certain profile. This doesn't fit it. This is much more insidious. So I don't believe, and to have done it in this way took some really sophisticated planning. So I don't buy into the whole, we're going to have a rash of these. While I think you can, there's a method to make explosives, which most people could probably figure out if they put their mind to it. I don't think that you're going to see a lot of this happening. I just don't buy into it, but I guess we'll see.
And what do you think is going on in other cities now with law enforcement around the country that we may hear about? And then, of course, what goes on under the radar that we don't hear about?
Well, the under-the-radar stuff, I can tell you, has already started, and that's going to be, I think, enhanced coordination and examination of different information regarding, first off, determining was this an individual or was this with a group. That's going to be the first thing. Regarding the other cities, kind of the overt preparation, they'll be examining for purposes of prevention or precluding any new attacks by examining SUVs which go into areas. D.C. is going to be a tough area because of all the SUVs and things that come in and out of the city. So I think that would be the next thing I look at, is if there's some sort of symbolic attack, if there is any, against one of the larger cities. And then obviously this SUV is going to drive people nuts because there's so many SUVs out there. It's going to be a big camper. It's going to be very tough.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Check out his podcast at londoncenter.org. And Tony, as always, thank you very, very much for being with us.
Hey, great. Thank you, Rich.
Our pleasure. It is 7:44. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We'll talk with KT McFarland coming up. But first, Bill Fonte is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Well, we've got late volumes of traffic as you head around the area because of the day after the holiday.
and just it being a Saturday, but they do have a crash on Suitland Parkway westbound just before Firth Sterling Avenue. They do have just one lane getting through, so be careful through there. New Hampshire Avenue northbound is closed from 410 up to Kentland Avenue because of an investigation after an earlier crash. And Independence Avenue is closed in both directions from Washington Avenue to Pennsylvania Avenue for planned construction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday, but also plenty of cold air. We'll see high temperatures today only into the mid-30s under mostly sunny skies. Later on tonight, clear skies, light winds will allow temperatures to dip back into the 20s. We'll at least see some milder air into the region for the end of the weekend. For your Sunday, expect plenty of sunshine, high temperatures about 10 degrees warmer into the mid-40s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
25 degrees in Washington, 7:45 on WMAL.
If you have avoided going to the dentist, especially due to fear or safety concerns, McMillan Sedation Dentistry understands and is open and ready to help. We continue to meet and strive to exceed the CDC's infection control standards. At McMillan Sedation Dentistry, you're in the safest, most hygienic environment, whether for emergency or elective treatments. We offer total solution dentistry, from comprehensive to cosmetic, along with implant treatments all in one office with gentle sedation options. The McMillan Sedation team is like a family who provides a safe, comfortable home where most procedures can be completed in as little as one anxiety-free visit. Our staff will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. If you're scared or concerned, we are here for you. Call 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our smile gallery at smileeasy.com. That's smileeasy.com.
105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Saturday morning update at 7:46. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor at the White House. She is the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, I want to congratulate you on the success of the book in 2020 and also the reviews that we've seen at Amazon.com. A lot of people saying great things about the book throughout the holiday season, those people getting it during the holidays. And congrats, because I know it takes a lot to write a book, and especially the detail that you went into and sharing so much about how the Trump administration has worked and what he's done to, you know, trying to drain the swamp. So congratulations, and thank you for being with us on a holiday weekend.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that lovely compliment, because unlike most people who write books, I actually wrote every word myself, probably about 10 times, because I rewrote it a lot. But I thank you. I'm very proud of it, and I'm particularly proud because as we go forward, we the Republican Party, we conservatives, we have to figure out who we are in the post-Trump era. And I spent a lot of time in the first part of the book defining why I, traditional establishment Republican, broke with the never-Trumpers and the establishment Republicans to support Trumpism and Trump. So I think those policies live on, even in a Biden administration and in the years ahead.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the Nashville bombing, which obviously, on Christmas Day, it sets a tone across the country. It's been a difficult year with COVID. Many people are very disappointed about the results of the election. So it's just been a really bad 2020. So let's turn to 2021. And there are some things that have happened this week, even in Europe, that cast maybe a more positive light on 2021. And you were talking also about the Republican Party and where, you know, the Trump movement goes next. So give us something a little more uplifting than what we've been through for the better part of this year.
Well, nobody noticed it, but on Christmas Eve, the British left the European Union. It was a deal that had been, you know, the British had voted for leaving the European Union about 4 years ago, and then the negotiations dragged on, and the European Union basically took the Germans and the French took the position of, screw you! You know, we're going to humiliate you. We're not going to let you leave. I mean, think about it this way. This is a marriage that's been a long-standing marriage. The Brits have always contributed more to the marriage than anybody else has, disproportionately more. And when the Brits finally said, okay, enough, let's have, you know, well, let's separate. The European Union said, okay, but here's the deal. You know, we get to keep the house, we get the ring, we get everything, and you guys, we're just going to kick you out on the streets on your own. And so Boris Johnson, they hung tough, and they were willing to go down to the final minute of the final hour and said, look, if we have to, we're going to leave the European Union, even with just literally the clothes on our back. And finally, the Europeans buckled on Christmas Eve, and the Brits got everything they wanted, so they can now have free trade. But the difference is two things. One, the British are now they are now a sovereign nation again. They no longer take their marching orders from the European Union bureaucrats in Brussels. And secondly, because they're their own man, they can now forge new relationships with other countries. And I certainly hope that the Biden administration is smart enough to have a U.S.-UK trade deal almost immediately. It would be great for both countries.
And do you get a sense that they will, knowing the incoming team?
Yeah, well, don't count on it, right? The Biden administration is really Obama's third term. It's all the Obama officials coming back into government. They're just one step higher on the rung of power, and it's going to be a disaster. I think they'll slap regulations on everything. They'll strangle small business, and the economy won't recover. And foreign policy, they'll continue to be anti-Israel, anti-Arab. They'll probably return to propping up Iran and the mullahs. So the Middle East will divide into two blocks. It will be Iran versus everybody else. And I think they're going to once again, they've already indicated they will, they're going to kowtow to China and just say, you know, what do you guys want? Here, we'll do what you want. Just don't rock the boat. And the American working class will suffer more than ever, especially because they've been suffering with the unfair China deals, trade deals of the past 20 years. And now they're really going to suffer in the post-pandemic recovery because they're the ones that have been pushed out of business and snuffed out. So that's why I think all those things mean that it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people like me and conservatives and Republicans to define who we are going forward. You know, the Never Trumpers, all those guys who hated Trump, who used to be Republican, well, they're now Biden Democrats. They're not coming back to the Republican Party. The Democrats are going to fight amongst themselves of how woke and how left and how quickly they can defund the police and change American history and cancel culture and all that. So they're going to be busy fighting with each other. And I think the working American, the middle class or working class, they're up for grabs. And Trump showed that the Democrats don't own the black and Hispanic vote. And so I think it's a great opportunity for people like us to define that the Republican Party is diverse. It encourages economic prosperity for everyone and that we believe in American sovereignty. And so the contrast between Republicans and Democrats, I think, will be very stark, and it'll bode well for the Republican Party going forward and for future elections, because the Democrats are going to, they're going to be in such trouble. The honeymoon now, but the honeymoon won't last.
You know, what's interesting is so many of the comments I've heard in terms of policy and from the incoming leadership, cabinet members, etc., it's an echo, it's a rerun of the Obama administration. And I thought President Trump was very effective in saying it was those policies that got Trump elected, and they're going down that same road. And my question, I guess, is how does that unite and motivate the Republican Party?
Well, I think you've pointed out something very important, because Trump won in 2016 because he ran against all those policies of the Obama administration. And even though I think Trump will not be the president, the next president, I think Biden will. I think they probably stole it, but they stole it fair and square, so how are you ever going to prove it? You can't. So Biden takes office. And then they return to the same policies that got them in trouble in 2016 and, frankly, got them in trouble in 2020. I mean, put aside who won the presidency for just a minute. It's hard to do because that's all the media wants to talk about. But all across the country, in every state of the union, even in liberal California, left-wing California, the Republican, Trump, conservative Republican people, candidates, won astoundingly. I mean, I look at Florida because, as you know, my daughter ran in a Democrat district that she won handily by 10 points. She ran as a conservative on sound economic principles, and it happened all over the country. I mean, I've met a number of the younger rising politicians in Florida, political leaders, and Florida has term limits, so their leaders tend to be quite young because it's either up or out. So you look at the future of the Republican Party. They're young, they're diverse, they're blacks, they're Hispanics, they're women, they're veterans. They come from different walks of life. They're not just career Washington Powells. And so I think that the dynamism and the excitement is going to come from Republicans. And there's no bigger sort of symbol of that than CPAC. Now, WMAL goes to CPAC. You go to CPAC. It's a conservative political action conference. It's held every year, usually in Washington or outside of Washington, in a great big convention hall, the Gaylord Convention Center outside of Washington.
Yeah, the biggest one in the area.
It's the biggest
one that can hold it.
You know what? No, it's even bigger than the bigger thing in the area. It's the CPAC is the biggest media event after the Super Bowl. And so every year, I mean, the conventions are bigger, but they're only every 4 years. So this is the biggest event, and it's not going to be in Maryland. It's not going to be in Washington this year for a bunch of reasons. It's now going to be in Florida, and that is the future. So not only, I think it's symbolic that, okay, Washington doesn't rule everything. You know, the rest of the country is important, too. And so the conference is going to be in Florida. There are going to be tens of thousands of people. Florida is going to be an open state. They're going to be open for business at the end of February. And I think it's a real opportunity, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, really, to chart the future and chart the future with the people who are going to be living the future, with a younger generation.
Fascinating. And we'll all be watching the role of President Trump as this, you know, rolls out over the next 4 years, his involvement, his leadership, the continuation of his movement. And I think the fact that he called the Congress on the spending package, he called out the pork, he's refusing to sign it. They have to come back. They got to go back to work Monday night on the House. The Senate's back in on Tuesday. They tried to sneak a 5,000-page bill past everybody, and nobody'd read the bill. And he finally put his foot down on it, whereas most other or every other administration just said, well, that's the way they do it. Fine, I'll sign it.
Yeah, and you know something that nobody really talks about? We're borrowing this money, right? We don't have it. We're borrowing it. Who are we borrowing it from? Well, sometime American citizens. We're borrowing it from China. Now, how does that feel to think that the United States is becoming indebted to its greatest adversary? Doesn't
well,
make
maybe
a lot
the Bidens
sense.
Can get us a great deal on the interest rates.
Yeah, they have a lot of that. Hunter Biden will be the chief negotiator. No, I just think that it's the pork, everything. President Trump has done a terrific job. Peace in the Middle East. He stood up to China. New trade agreements with all these countries. Prior to the pandemic, a booming economy. And you know, at the end of the day, Operation Warp Speed worked. The Chinese may have started the world in this pandemic, and their actions caused it, but who's curing it? America's curing it. So I think, again, that's another symbol of don't sell us short so fast. We're pretty darn good. And when our public sector and our private sector unite to bring the best of both, then we're really unstoppable.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. If you're off next week, have some time over the holidays, take a few minutes and read K.T.'s book. K.T., thank you very much as always, and have a very happy new year.
It can't come soon enough. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you. And that's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Garden Sense follows the 8 o'clock news. Heather Curtis will have the very latest on the investigation in the bombing in Nashville.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Hi, I'm James Skank, President and CEO of PenFed Credit Union. PenFed is proud to serve our national defense community and all Americans. This year, we've helped more people achieve their financial well-being and realize their dream of home ownership than ever before. It would be our pleasure to help you achieve your financial well-being and realize your dreams in 2021. We wish you and your family health and happiness this holiday season, and a prosperous and healthy new year.
You've heard it before. A little goes a long way. But this year it's true because pro tip, big gifts are out. That's why the Virginia Lottery has a little something for your friends and family. Holiday scratchers. Yes, they are literally little, but the winnings? Well, they ain't little. The $38 million blowout scratcher is loaded with $500 prizes. But again, what your friends and family are scratching is little. So our point still stands about little things, like holiday scratchers from the Virginia Lottery, going a long way. Odds of winning top prize, 1 in 1,530.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.